You're listening to the Animation Addicts Podcast with the Rotoscopers, episode 101, Shaun the Sheep. It's a classy fart joke, okay?
Hello! Welcome to the Animation Addicts Podcast with the Rotoscopers, Disney, DreamWorks, Pixar, Don Bluth, and everything in between. We're your hosts, Morgan Stradling, Chelsea Robson, and Mason Smith. For our very, very, very first live show of the Animation Addicts Podcast, we are pumped. Say hello, everyone.
Hello! Woo-hoo!
Hello, world. In beautiful Technicolor, we are reaching out to you. Whoa!
And the first appearance on camera of the Thunder Tubes.
Hey.
Oh, really? Is this actually the first time on video?
Well, not the...
Unless you were at the Rotocast a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, unless you were at the Rotocast, then you were able to get it then.
So be a patron to do that.
You also got a dramatic reading of it as well.
Are new to the show, this is the Animation Addicts Podcast, and we talk about all things animated films, past, present, future. We cover all the studios, and we just have a great time doing it. If you are listening to the audio file and you don't know what we're talking about, this is our very first live show that we are doing via computer. What's the term? Oh my gosh.
Yeah, computer technology. Yeah. It's brilliant.
Via webcam. So we have
Google Hangout.
Yes, we have Google Hangout and we are listening. So this is brought to you by the patrons. The patrons supported us and this was one of our goals. When we hit $250 a month, we would start doing live shows, which to be honest is kind of scary because there's all sorts of technical difficulties and all sorts of things, but we have done it and it's thanks to the patrons. So thank
you. We did it. We actually did it. People at SIGGRAPH are doing real-time face scanning, and we just figured out how to hook all our webcams together.
Yes!
Also, today I will be the chat master, so if you go on rotoscopers.com/live, you can interact with yours truly.
Whew! That's exciting.
So this episode, for our 101st episode, we are going to be reviewing the newly released in the U.S., Shaun the Sheep movie. Now, this just came out this past week, and we're really, really excited to talk about it. I don't know about you guys, but I absolutely adore this movie, and I think it's delightful, it's smart. So in this episode, we are going to just review the film, talk about our favorite points, favorite themes, different messages, any quotes that we can remember, and have just an all-around great time. So thank you, and yeah.
Shaun the Sheep and his flock know every trick to having a good time. But things can get out of control very quickly. Now, to get the family back together, they'll need a little wool power and a lot of teamwork. To stay out of trouble, they need to think fast. Look sharp.
Walk this way.
And always keep their cool. Because if they can't blend in, they could end up back in the pen. From Aardman Animations, the creators of Wallace and Gromit and Chicken Run, present A Great Escape to the City. Shaun the Sheep, the movie.
I had never seen anything Shaun the Sheep related before I saw the movie.
Well, no, you...
I was a Shaun the Sheep virgin.
We definitely watched all of the Wallace and Gromit shorts. And if you go back to episode 15, I believe, of the Rotoscopers Animation Addicts podcast, we did review all of those, in which Shaun the Sheep did show up in one of them.
That's true. He was in a close shave.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends, so for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
But that was the last time I'd seen him. I knew that they had a television show, like a show about him, and they have like 10 or so episodes.
No.
Oh, quite a few, actually. There's over 100.
Oh, really?
Yeah, well, they had only 10 episodes, like, in 2009 or something. Okay. I don't know. But yeah, they have 4 seasons by now. And then there's even a sideshow called Timmy Time where, you know, it's more of a children-oriented one with Timmy. I'm assuming he's the tiny little sheep.
Well, dang. They found their cash sheep.
They did find their cash sheep. First joke of the episode.
Yes.
Yeah. So this is from Aardman Animation.
Aardman is so cool. I love them. It was also directed by Richard Starzak and Mark Burton.
That sounds like such a science fiction name. I am Starzak.
So these two guys, these are actually screenwriters for the Shaun the Sheep television show and are very instrumental in bringing that to life over the past few years. And so they were brought on to direct this live, this feature-length film of it, which is very, very exciting. So let's talk about release date. It was released February 6th in the U.S., in the U.K., and August 5th in the United States. Quite a big difference, about 6 months' time. And unfortunately, it has not done very well in the U.S. It did pretty well in the UK, and it's already on Blu-ray, and people love it. I mean, Shaun the Sheep is just adored over there. Aardman Animation is adored over there. But in the US, I don't know, not so much. It opened this weekend, and it didn't even crack the top 10, which is very disappointing. Yeah, I mean, it moved to a Wednesday. It was supposed to be on Friday at one point. They moved it to a Wednesday. And, you know, a lot of the adults that I talked to just didn't really even know that this movie existed, that it was coming out. I went and saw an advanced screening, and my neighbors went with me. She's like, I didn't even know that this movie was out. But when I told my kids, they knew, and they were excited. So the kids obviously had seen, you know, they're familiar with the TV show. And probably had seen the commercials, but it just didn't seem to necessarily be marketed towards the adults in order to get them into the theater to bring, you know, their families, which is such a shame because it's just hilarious. Not hilarious. It's very sad. It's one of the most critically acclaimed animated films of the year, yet one of the worst performing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's sad in a very hilarious way. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I definitely.
Well, I get what you mean. It's kind of funny. Like, I don't recall, of course I don't have cables, but I don't recall there being a marketing campaign.
The only reason I knew that it was coming out was because I actively went out and searched for it. And had I not done that, I wouldn't have known.
Yeah, the only promotion that I had seen for the film was, I think because I run the Rotoscopers Twitter account, it knows what Twitter ads to target towards me. And so I get a lot of targeted Twitter ads.
Yeah.
too much, in fact, where I had to click the X button and say, stop showing this, you're showing this too much. But other than that, I don't know if any other people necessarily were familiar about this. We even had people in the comments of the website in my review and in the article talking about how well it did over the box office, or not well, saying, wow, I didn't even know this movie was out, which is, if the animation addicts don't even know about it, that's mm-hmm. a really bad sign about your marketing. So it was, Lionsgate did acquire the distribution rights to distribute it here in the U.S., and I'm not quite sure. They haven't had a very good track record with animated films so far, so I don't know. They just don't have that engine behind them, or maybe the prowess that some of the other studios do to really capture that market and get them to go into the theater. But enough about talking about the...
Gotta have that steam.
Yeah.
Choo-choo.
If you're listening to this and for some reason you haven't seen the Shaun of the Sheep movie, I just go see it, whether it's already released where you live or you're in the U.S., just go see it and help it out, because it is so adorable and cute and just such a great movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's sad that it's that way.
And the aggregate review scores show it. It has a 99% on Rotten Tomatoes.
That's really impressive. Like, super impressive.
Yeah. And with good reason. Like, I think if you were to describe Shaun the Sheep in one word, I would just describe it as cute. Like, when I was rolling up to the theater, which I'll talk about in a second, I was texting Morgan that I was going to see it, and she was like, oh, the movie is so cute. And I was like, well, all right. And that really is the perfect word to describe it. Like, it's cute in, like, to quote Mindy Kaling, in the most profoundly wholesome way. I really, really, really enjoyed it.
So what are your thoughts, Chelsea?
I totally enjoyed it. I mean, every little bit, I was so intrigued. I was so, I just watched it and I was like, this is something I can just get into. Like, one of my favorite parts of it was the fact that there was no dialogue. So that made it even more of an anomaly almost. It was just like, I have to watch this now and I have to see what's going on. They did a really good job of tying you in, making you feel like, I need to know what's happening with these sheep.
So, yeah, totally.
What was your experience at the theaters? Was it packed? Was it not packed?
Okay, so I went at 11:40 in the morning. So I went to the very first showing that I could on Friday. And let's see, there were about 15 people in the theater total. And it seemed like I was the only adult who didn't bring along a small child. And so I was like, oh crap, like, this is Aardman. Did you see Pirates Band of Misfits? Oh, the cheering kid sound effect. Didn't we start that for the Monsters University? Because I went and saw it with a bunch of kids. Anyway. But yeah, I was like, didn't you see Pirates Bands of Misfits? Like, this doesn't I'm not expecting this to have, like, child-oriented humor. But anyway, I don't know. I have mixed views as to whether the film in the end is for kids or not. I have my reasons for that. We'll talk about that later, I guess. But, you know, I saw a lot of kids going in and out of the theater for, like, bathroom breaks, you know, for soda and popcorn. Oh, I'm sorry. If you had a movie theater, you're supposed to say popcorn and Coca-Cola. You have to articulate it perfectly. So I saw a lot of in and outs with the kids. So I don't know if that means they were getting bored or if it's just a thing that happens when you take a child to the movie theater.
It's kind of a thing that happens when you take a child to the movie theater.
Well, anywhere.
Yeah.
Nobody left the house and they have to go to the restroom.
Like, right, yeah.
Okay, so let's talk about kind of the main thing that made this movie stand out, other than that it was stop motion, claymation, was that it had no dialogue, which I think...
Dialogue whatsoever. Coherent dialogue.
Yes, there were a few songs that were clearly in English, and there was some mumbling and whatnot, but what do you guys think?
Well, and they had a few signs, you know, as far as, like, reading. Yeah. But other than that, like, yeah. You know, one thing I love about Aardman is they know their aesthetic. They know what their style is as far as aesthetics go. And they also know how to do the show me, don't tell me type of relaying their storyline. I mean, you look at the Wallace and Gromit, you know,
Gromit doesn't ever talk, and the only he doesn't even bark ever. Like, the only time that he ever does anything is maybe he'll do a growl or anything. But it's just all in your face. It's all in, like, situational humor that they throw in. And honestly, I was thinking about it back on our, you know, 100th episode. We talked about different fandoms, and I think that's one of the key indicators for a fandom is when you do know your style so well, especially for, like, newer studios or, like, smaller studios.
Yeah, absolutely. Coming out of the theater, I was, like, pondering on, like, what sets Aardman apart from, like, Laika.
Ladies and gentlemen.
What are you doing?
What do you mean?
I'm making Just keep it simple.
I'm making the promo.
Just keep it simple. Just say, hey, we're the Brav Bros, two guys that talk about Bravo.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we're the Brav Bros.
No.
Oh.
Dude, stop with the voice. Just keep it simple.
I've seen promos on TV, dude. This is how you get the fans engaged. This is how you get listeners. We're trying to get listeners here. If we just say, oh, we're two dudes that talk about Bravo, people are going to get tired of it already. We need some oomph.
All right, then fine. Let's try to do it with your voice.
Brav Bros.
Good job.
And that's really the only other big stop-motion art house that I can think of
currently
right now.
Currently doing things, yeah.
That currently and consistently do feature films. But yeah, you know, Laika does rely on dialogue, and there's nothing wrong with it.
No.
Because I wouldn't even compare the majority of Laika films with Aardman films. But Aardman, like Chelsea said, they've got it down. You know, it takes a good animation team to successfully convey things like emotions and intentions and attitudes, etc., without the use of dialogue. Like, there are some films where, like, your style is so naturalistic, you know, with, you know, talking animals are concerned, that you need dialogue because, like, Watership Down would have been really boring if it didn't have dialogue the way they'd created it.
Yeah.
And, for Shaun the Sheep, they just kept the film so exciting and engaging without boring me. Like, there were times when I was on the cusp of being a little bored, but then something really exciting and entertaining would happen. And so, boy, howdy, they really got the pacing down and just the story. And the fact that they did it all without coherent dialogue just elevates this film into a work of art. What did you think, Morgan?
Yeah, I completely agree. I think that because this movie didn't have as much, you know, very little dialogue, that they weren't able to rely on the dialogue to lead the story. They had to focus really bad. They had to focus on the visuals, making sure those were top notch, the visual comedy to make sure that that hit and stuck, and as well as the music. From the very first notes, there was sort of this harp that was playing, and I was like, wow, you know, I normally don't notice the music first off, but I did, and it really carried the film. You know, all three of those things together just made this film amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Not to mention, you don't have any celebrity voice contracts to pay for. Woohoo!
You know, there are still voice actors for this film. Like, if you go on IMDb or Wikipedia, you'll see that, you know, Sean
there is a voice cast, a
voice actor. Yeah, they. Mm-hmm. You know, there are voice actors behind these actors, and I don't think we should diminish their role. I mean, they
not at all.
An important role in creating sheep noises and animal noises and some grumbles here and there, but it's definitely different than what we are used to.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so we launch into the film. I had never seen an episode of Shaun the Sheep before I watched the movie, but it sets it up pretty well.
What was funny when I was watching this, because I hadn't gone in and watched any of the four seasons of Shaun the Sheep, so, like, all I remember was from a close shave, Wallace and Gromit. So I'm like, wait, where did this ginger guy come from? Like, I don't understand what's going on here.
Absolutely.
But
it does a really well, really good job of, like, doing the, what do you call it? The exposition, you know, helping us all figure out this is their world. This is what they do. And this is the conflict. It spells it all out pretty well.
Right.
Yeah. And Chelsea, you have a little context about, you know, the Wallace and Gromit shorts.
Uh-huh.
But not enough context to know them from the TV or from the TV show. I think most people would not have any context of the TV show or the shorts, and so they wouldn't even recognize Shaun the Sheep as being anything that you would know from any other previous works. But like Mason said, I think they did it fabulous. I have not seen the TV show, but I felt that I was able to jump right into this film. I don't, there may have been some jokes from the film that went over my head, but they weren't so, necessary to the plot that I felt lost and confused because I didn't feel that at all. So I think that's one reason why this film's so successful is it is based on a previous TV property, but they're able to spin it so it totally works.
Yeah.
For example, we recently did a commentary of Equestria Girls, which is based on My Little Pony. And that film needed a lot of context. I felt that when I was watching it with Mason and Chelsea hadn't seen it, but I had to kind of explain, oh, okay, well, she's a unicorn, and, so they have powers, and she's a Pegasus, and, oh, she's an alicorn, that's why she's a princess.
There was a lot you had to explain to me.
You didn't have to do any of that for this, which is a good sign.
Yeah. Well, and also my favorite thing, like the song that they open up with was so catchy.
Yes.
Like, every day feels, it was just so, that was like, I just feel so into this right now. Like, it was totally like a Beach Boy type vibe that I got with it. I was like, but this is why it's so awesome.
Well, you can see that the farmer originally got the sheep because he loved them, because it was something that he loved to do. It wasn't necessarily a money-making thing or something mundane or boring like it turned out to be, by the time they start the movie. And so it's really cute, and I like all that imagery. The little stop-motion Polaroid that they take. It's cute. Yeah. And they love him back. They're so happy to be with him. But then, like, things get really old really quick. Or not really old really quick, but, like, everyone's grown up and gotten bored of what they do. The checklist, the dog. Every day is the same thing. It's like Shaun has, like, a Jack the Pumpkin King moment where he's like, oh, the same old thing, Then he goes to the city and is like, what's this? There's cars everywhere. What's this? There's concrete in my hair. But yeah. And then you get the central conflict because all Shaun wanted to do was have a day off.
Don't we all?
Right. Well, and then
Shaun is really smart. We figure that out off the bat. He has connections and he's very resourceful.
Yes. I love how he was, like, paying off the duck with the slicing of bread.
And he shortchanged him and he counted him and he's like,
Yeah. Oh, that was great.
Hey, pay up one more. With that, when I saw the duck, I thought we were going to see a Feathers McGraw reference somewhere in the film from, like, Wallace and Gromit, the most notorious stop motion bird of them all.
Hey, okay, so I went actually and fed some ducks last Saturday, and aww, there was this other guy who had like a giant bag of bread and then also had this like food. And at the park where I go to, it's got like, it had to have at least 1,000 geese/ducks/random birds that are just around, and they just stay there at this little lake place that I go. And he stopped feeding him and he started walking over to another place. And you could just, I was on the other side and I'm like watching as like 1,000 birds start following him over. I'm like, ooh, that doesn't bode well.
It really doesn't. It gets all Alfred Hitchcock really quick.
Yeah.
But yeah. Something I wanted to bring up. So spoiler alert, the farm, like, if you're still watching and you are worried about spoilers, then go away. But anyway.
Every show is spoiler, very spoiler filled. So pause right now, go see it and come back.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. So, let's talk about amnesia and memory loss, because part of the big conflict is that the farmer gets like in a strange and bizarre turn of events, he winds up in his pajamas in the middle of the city, and he also bonks his noggin to where he loses his memory loss. They write it off in the the hospital, the place where you take sick people. So it's very popular in live action. I feel like there are tons of live action Hollywood movies where like a character loses his memory and then they have to pick up the pieces again. Same thing with games, but like, I can't think of that many animated films where amnesia and memory loss is like a huge element, besides one, and that is Finding Nemo, soon to be Finding Dory. But I can't really think of another animated film where like, part like a way to build or enhance the plot is to have one of the characters lose his memory. Maybe there's a Swan Princess somewhere, movie somewhere where someone loses their memory and enlighten me.
No.
usually it happens a lot in love stories or romantic comedies where the one person, they're in love and then the one person...
The heart remembers everything.
Yes. Will I be able to be with this person forever? And I mean, that even happens in Once Upon a Time. With one of the first seasons, one of the main characters has memory loss and is...
Don't they all, though? Because they, like, technically don't know who they are.
Well, yeah, that is true. But this one has double memory loss where they... can't remember who they are, even in this other
man. I thought we could go an episode without a Once Upon a Time reference.
No, we actually go a lot of episodes.
I'm
stuck in season 3, so it's hard. It's no 2. I'm still stuck in season 2, which I heard is one of the not so good seasons. So I'm trying to catch up. We'll see.
They bring Stitch in there, and it just gets. Well, yeah, 50 First Dates, says Sarah on the chat, but, like, we're talking about animation. Like,
I think that's a
good one. I really can't. I'm going through my database, and I'm like, memory loss, no. Oh, Shrek. Shrek deals with memory loss. Wait, no, it deals with identity loss.
Yeah.
Because in Shrek 2, Shrek turns into the hunka burning love. Anastasia.
Oh,
you're right. Anastasia is the best Disney movie, Sarah.
You know, I liked how it worked here. It was kind of predictable. It was like, oh, he's going to lose his memory, and he's probably not going to like them or remember. But I just loved the way that they were able to tell the story.
The twist it went from there was flawless. It was amazing.
How, because he's been shearing
for years,
that... He just naturally becomes this amazing hairdresser.
This amazing buzzboy artist.
Yeah, exactly. That this famous, you know, celebrity with his hair, you know, he's clearly known for his hair, you know, stumbles into his chair, gets fast, and then realizes, like, hey, I like this.
New do.
Yeah, totally.
I needed a new change.
Yeah. So, to make matters worse, they've lost their owner. Sean cannot manage the farm by himself. He does a horrible job. They're hungry. The pigs have crashed into the house and are throwing a party. And to make matters worse...
Three little pigs. I thought that was great.
To make matters worse, here comes the dog catcher, the dude from the pound.
You know, I feel like we were talking about, you know, amnesia in animated films. I feel like the dog catcher in animated films or the... I feel like I've seen a lot of that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
If you're an animal, your number one nemesis is the dog catcher, ladies and gentlemen.
Absolutely. Oh, the pound. Jail for animals. He is hardcore.
He gets
he
so
is
much...
clearly good at what he does.
And he gets so much satisfaction out of it.
Oh, absolutely. He's way into his job. And I love how the little details, like, just how by the books he is. First, he ropes everything off with police tape, quarantines the animal, catches them, marks their Polaroid, records their photo, takes them away.
I love that little really device funny. That he has that just kind of, like, gripped him around the middle.
Yep.
Like, I'm sure people are... You know, PETA would be not very happy with that, but whatever. It's a cartoon. It's funny. Everything's stylized. It was hilarious.
And then he's got his secret compartment with the mega extermination device.
I feel like he was one of those cops that just got laid off from his job because he was a little bit too on the inside, or I don't know.
Hey, you said it.
He was just a little too into his job, and so they're like, nope, you're out of here.
You're out of here.
He got washed up as a dog catcher.
is sort of a step down.
Yeah, he's found his calling in life, clearly, because he is very, very persistent with finding those sheep. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a high-profile case. I mean, sheep in the city. Okay, so the whole gang shows up, and, you know, they're not very bright at all. That's one thing you start figuring out early on is that the rest of the sheep are sheep. They follow along, and they're not very bright. They don't have many original ideas, and they're not as smooth and intelligent as Sean is, so that's why they need Sean, I guess.
That's what I thought was so great about the sheep is that they really didn't have any personalities. You could tell some of them apart based on their looks, and of course there's the little baby, there's the mom, but Sean is really the only one with any sort of brains in the operation, and they just follow along, and it's perfect. I'm glad they didn't try to give them personality or whatnot. Maybe they do in the TV show.
Oh, right.
But this works perfectly with, you know, just following along like sheep, which they do. Thankfully, Sean.
Remember how we talked about films that are based on TV series and animation and how sometimes they go the route where, like, there's a huge argument between two main characters that in the series would never have a huge argument. And it's like, ooh, is this the end of the Rugrats forever? You know? Is this the end of Hey Arnold and his gang forever? You know? And yeah. All I can think of is Nickelodeon at the moment. But they always do that. They create these, like, conflicts of personality that didn't exist in the show. And like Morgan said, like, we haven't seen the show, so we're kind of, you know, shooting in the dark with that. But I'd be willing to bet they got along just fine in the show, and they got along just fine in the movie. So, no problem.
Yeah.
Of course, they get the whole gang together, and every good film needs a good chaos at the fancy French restaurant sequence where everything is just balancing on a needle's point, and at any moment, everything could go wrong. And it does.
Of course it
does. I
love
it. They're like, all right, we're going to copy that guy. And then he burps really loudly, and everybody's like, oh, that's rude. And then Sean's like, wait, no.
Drops the silverware.
Oh, yeah, they drop the silverware. I love it. All the people are, like, looking at him like... That's another thing I like about this film is that the amount of extras is pretty large, and they all have their own kind of, like... It's good extra work, you know? They got extras that act really well in this film.
Yeah, well, going to the animation, I was just blown away by the animation. Every time I see a stop-motion animated film, the artistry and the detail that goes into it, how painstakingly difficult it must have been to create a film like that, I appreciate it so much. And I'm sure you know, CGI and 2D animated films are just as hard and just as complex. But to me, the fact that it is, you know, a physical model that you have to move around and the things that you're able to do is so impressive.
Absolutely.
Like every stop motion film that we review, I'm just like, wow, look at the water.
No kidding. Look at the water. It's so masterful. And yet on extreme close-ups, you can see the thumbprints, you know, of people's fingers. Like, and I love that about Aardman. I love when they do that. Like, that's why I love watching the old Wallace and Gromit shorts, because you can see the nitty gritty craftiness of it. You know, back then it was literally claymation.
Right. It's not claymation. It may be claymation, but, you know, they're a lot more sophisticated
back then, I think, in how
they create. Yeah, back then. But now, you know, they have models for each mouth. They pop, the face on and off. But I still like that they add the little fingerprint details in the models just to give it that.
Right. Kind of intentional, like what they did with Fantastic Mr. Fox, where you can see the auteur, the hand of the auteur, as it were. And I looked at it a little bit, and Leica have large, they have large models. Like, they're larger than you'd think. It's not like a little toy that you make out of clay. They're fairly large. And I think Aardman models tend to be smaller, but I'm not sure. But yeah, like Morgan said, there's all kinds of awesome technology that goes into it now, how they have interchangeable parts. And then, you know, Leica, they have like clockwork key-driven precision armatures and stuff like that. Like, they recently sent out a call for animators and stop-motion people for Leica. And I was like, who out there knows how to work these things or is experienced with working these intricate, you know, armatures? But... Mm-hmm.
Well, even when, like, a camera is panning and the characters are moving, that's so impressive to me.
Is that – yeah, but do you think they do that in post, like, digitally, or if there's actual, like, frame-by-frame?
No, I think the computer – the camera is probably set up to a computer that every frame that you move, it moves, like, a millimeter, you know? Yeah.
Yeah.
But the again, science I can behind talk about it forever. That's why I love these behind the scenes videos and featurettes that they show about the making of stop motion animated films. It's just, it's like at the end of The Box Trolls. The Box Trolls had the credits were basically how it was made, and everyone's, you know, their mouths just
dropped on the floor. The futility of life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Pretty good. And then, you know, they get caught and they all go to the pound. And despite it being one of those things where people can walk in and choose a pet and adopt it, the mean old dog catcher guy just knocks over the sign. What a jerk. As the proud father of a rescue dog, of a shaggy rescue dog, Little Jane, I was pretty angry at that. But it also makes you it makes you really pity the ugly dog that's in the film.
It's like super ugly.
The little ugly dog was so cute.
With the like spider lashes and everything.
Spider lashes, snaggle tooth, everything. It has a mane like a lion. I think there's a funnier part of the film, but the funniest part of the prison sequence is dog looks over at all the animals and he looks right in front of him and it's just that dog who's just
daring.
And I love it because they break the rule of thirds where the dog's just like, oh my gosh, he's like, oh, he's still looking at me. Is he still looking at me? Yep. You know, and the dog's still like, oh crap, headphones. He's still like, his eyes are like all bloodshot because he's been staring for so long. I don't know why, but just like tiny little moments like that, Aardman just like knocks out of the ballpark, and it just makes me like.
Well, oh, and that joke was funny.
Freak out.
Did it when them in the prison, but then the real kicker that just makes it come full circle is at the very end.
It's just a cutout.
The cutout. Yep. They bring it back.
I love it. And then, there's this clever part where Sean, like, wants it to look like they blew a hole out of the wall, so he just draws it with chalk. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that was clever.
Well, he's been drawing on things.
How small they had to draw it.
He's been drawing on things since the beginning.
You know, he's been making plans for a while.
He knows what he wants to do on his day off. So that's why he puts in the very beginning when he put his owner into the little house and like drew on the curtain to make it look like it was going outside. Like this sheep is smart.
He is smart. His flock mates are not so smart.
No.
They blow up the wrong wall. It's just a construction worker on the toilet.
That was so great. And like Sean's just like, yeah. I'm surrounded by idiots.
I'm surrounded by idiots. Sean is like a good Scar.
He is. Except not a bad guy.
Oh, he's not a bad guy, yeah. Oh. Bad guy. But yeah, but the funniest part for me was how they... A what?
Zangief.
You are a bad guy, Zangief. But you are not.
That's not to me. You are a bad guy. Zangief. But anyway, for me, the funniest part of the film was how they treat the farmer's rise to stardom through the use of social media. He literally goes viral.
Yeah.
You can see there's a couple of awesome details. For one, his artsy t-shirt is just like a white shirt that's got like garbage smeared all over it. And the other stylist is like, you know, he looks at it, he's like, oh, someone's wearing my shirt. I thought I was a trendy. And when he sees the shears and he sees the movie star, he just grabs him and wrangles him like he's one of his feet. And they keep doing that. Like, that's how he treats every new client that comes in. He just grabs them and wrangles them, and they're like, oh, this is such a cool, it's so organic, this technique, you know. It's like on Pinterest, like, this is how you cut people's hair, you know, and he grabs them and shears them like a freaking sheep.
Oh my gosh.
Like, details like that are so awesome to see in these films. But yeah, you see everything, the shares, the likes, the freaking photo shoot.
The photo that doesn't upload or it's just sitting there, you know, processing. That got a lot of my feet. Everyone was like, oh, we've all been there.
Oh, Oh my gosh.
They really know how to speak to us, man. They really know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you think we'll ever see a cosplay of the farmer in his artsy?
Oh, I hope so.
That would be. Someone needs to do that.
All you need is PJ pants, and you got to have the artsy shirt.
Which is super easy.
You
got to
have the hair and the glasses.
And like maybe carry around a fake shears.
Yeah.
See, that's all you need. And
any gingers out there who are always like, man. Wear wigs all the time for my costume. I just wish there was a good character, you know, guy that I could, other than Hercules, that I could be like, got one now.
Absolutely. And then he just magically gets the job. I wish that there were jobs, more jobs where you just show up and try out and they're like, all right, we've got an empty station for you right here. Right. Walk on
it's in. Like, you did a good job. He liked it. Here, have a dollar out of like the 50, like, he's paid like $700 or something for that haircut. Here's a dollar for you. Good job. Have a chair.
Oh, it might have been like 500 quid or whatever they say it out there in the UK. I don't know. Aja tried to explain it to me once, and I was like, I don't know. I'm good old friend of dollars. But yeah, I love the wrangling. The only sad part is that he doesn't recognize them.
That was so sad, and like you could see the pain in Sean's eyes when he was just like,
oh, he's crying.
my boss man doesn't remember me. After all those mornings that we woke up together and all those years, you don't remember me.
All the times the dog's face got slammed in the front door. But yeah,
that dog was so funny. I liked him. I liked him a lot.
You know,
the dog.
Yeah,
I felt like the dog was slight ripoff of Gromit.
Yeah, a little bit.
No,
you didn't feel that.
You know, Gromit's more of a worrier. This dog to me was more of like a duty bound, like guard dog.
That's true.
Like he knows his role. He's really good at it, and he's not gonna let these sheep get in the way. Whereas Gromit is like, I have somewhat of a dim-witted owner, and I really need to look out for him because, like, people are constantly trying to kill him. Remember, Wallace and Gromit is the Alfred Hitchcock of animation, as we discussed in our previous episodes.
Okay, can I just bring up the sheep who is the backpack when they go into the restaurant?
Timmy.
Favorite sheep of them all. I love that one.
I love it. Now I know why they've made a spinoff of Timmy.
Yeah.
Oh, Timmy.
He's so cute.
So every time Bod, who doesn't love a baby?
Yeah. Okay. It's true. They're just adorable. And then I actually was really interested in the sheep with the curlers in. Mm-hmm. I just really want to see at some point in time. If they've had those curlers in for that long, they're probably not going anywhere.
Could you imagine taking those out?
I can. Wool's already curly.
Well, from someone who uses curlers and like those on a regular basis, I know that the length of time that you put in them does add to the length of time that they actually stay, generally speaking. In the South, it doesn't really do that well. But, you know.
Hair lessons with Chelsea.
Yes.
Thanks, Chelsea.
Rob,
you're welcome.
Not curlers today. Next week. Flat iron.
I don't use flat irons as much, but it's okay.
Just roll.
I used to use the chi in high school.
Just roll the chi. Yeah, Mason knows how to work the chi.
And the blow dryer, which I learned when he stayed at my house.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. I'm surprised I don't have my own blow dryer.
Patrons, if you
want, I need it, man. Look,
a blow dryer. He needs it. He just has the mane of hair that needs to be.
GoFundMe. Mason needs a blow dryer. It has to be an Italian one, like my wife's. It's like that thing's like an aircraft engine.
It's fantastic.
The Italians, man. Anyway, speaking of Italians, actually not. That was like a weird tangent.
Yeah, it was.
I really like. I like their like ultimate plan of getting him out of there. They're like, all right, we're just going to repeat the same process that we got him in the city to get him out. We're going to do the,
camper trailer.
The what? Oh, we got to get camper trailer.
Well, but before that, you got to make sure everybody falls asleep. So,
yeah, you got to do the counting sheep thing.
That was so funny at the very end. They did it.
Oh my gosh, no! And then at the end, like the guy in the trampoline story. He like falls asleep and he keeps bouncing up and down.
Oh, that part was hilarious.
I got a biggest kick out of that one.
Yeah, and then I love how it escalates really, really nicely. Like I felt like it didn't get ridiculous. It was ridiculous in like a funny way where it's like, okay, first we got the horse and then the dog catcher gets shoved up the fake horse's butt. And there was that. And then now we're on the run and then we're trying to get our owner to remember everything. And then, oh no, it's a rock quarry and all this stuff.
I love how it had the sign of this is where houses fall. Just in case you didn't know what was going to happen next.
Right, that's right. And so I thought the ending was like, whoa, it keeps going on. But then it wrapped up nice, you know.
They brought the bull back, and the bull helped just to
that's right.
push it.
The bull is good in the end. And then they bring the master back, and the pigs are like, oh, crap, we got to clean up.
See, that was another comedic moment that they did that you would think the pigs would just be pigs and leave, but the fact that they're pigs and they were actually pretty clean and tidy when it came down to it, that made me laugh.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like perfect, yeah, convenient quarry. Kaja just reminded us on chat of the name of the quarry. It's like...
Convenient quarry? Like oh my gosh, that's great. Oh, but no, Morgan, did you notice when the dog catcher like pops out from underneath the camper? Like it was a total like Sideshow Bob moment.
Oh, yes.
And I was like, why don't you have rakes? Anyway, that was my Simpsons tangent for the episode.
Who's Sideshow Bob?
Come on. I'm so sorry, Mason, that you didn't. No, you can't do that.
I know who Sideshow Bob is.
Okay, good.
But anyway, just from the Butterfinger BB's commercial. But yeah, so...
Nobody better lay a finger.
I like how it wrapped up. And that's pretty much it. Like, the movie wraps up really well. They go back to what they were doing at the beginning of the film. And all is put back in order. Even the ugly dog finds an owner.
Oh, bus driver.
That was the cutest part. The bus driver looks just like her.
There's someone for everyone.
See, that way they don't have to change the core TV series to accommodate this new character.
Right. You know?
I hate it when I also don't like it when they do that in animated films. It's like, we have to change the entire universe of the show just for the sake of the movie. You know? And so that character wrapped up nicely. And so in the end, I was extremely impressed by this film, and I'd like to have a mini discussion on why we think that Shaun the Sheep. Wait, first of all, Shaun the Sheep movie. So how do you say that? How do you articulate that? Is it like Shaun the Sheep movie, or is it Shaun the Sheep colon movie, or Shaun colon the Sheep comma movie semicolon?
Officially,
question mark?
It's just,
or is it just Shaun the Sheep movie?
Shaun the Sheep movie,
yeah.
Colon.
Yep. All right, so what makes Shaun the Sheep movie so great?
The Shaun the Sheep movie, it's just Shaun the Sheep.
It's not the Shaun the Sheep, the Shaun the Sheep the movie.
Okay, apparently the one thing that is not so great about this film is its title.
Is the title, aw. Or they could have just done the Pixar route and just done Shaun. Or... Sheep. Or Sheep Shaun.
Deer.
What if sheep had feelings? But yeah.
What did I All think right, about so, that was so good about it?
Yeah, what makes Shaun the Sheep so great?
So good! Well, I mean, when you look at the difference of... I mean, this one had just about as much, like... This is no dialogue, but you look at movies like maybe The Minions, which was the highest grossing like animated movie ever or something like that. Like
ish.
Sequel, something like within its first week. That was something like that.
Don't
like,
quote us on this, people. We don't want emails.
Yeah, don't fact check us on that. Sorry.
It brought in a lot of money, okay? Well, you look at Shaun the Sheep, which like barely cracked the didn't even crack the top 10. And I see, you know, well, Shaun the Sheep was just such like the smarter side of kid type humor, you know? Like Minions, don't get me wrong, it has its place in the pantheon of great kid movies, but it just doesn't have that same, like you go in there and you realize very quickly this is a fart joke type movie. While there was a classy fart joke that I'm really glad that they were able to throw in there.
A classy fart joke? Wait, explain to me what a classy fart joke is.
Title.
One that doesn't smell so foul, perhaps.
Well, remember when the dog catcher goes into the horse's rear end and then he goes out and the way that they start pushing themselves is sticking the
It's very Ace Ventura.
The fire extinguisher out the rear end, and that pushed them, propelled them forward. It's a fart joke, but at the same time, it's not like a literal fart joke. Like when you walk into Minions, it's just like you got butts.
It's just like whoopee cushion, like, everyone laughs.
Exactly. So all right. That's what I take from this movie.
Very cool.
More than that. I think more than just that. But
that's what I got out of this. Classy fart jokes.
If that's Chelsea's definition of class, I'm very worried.
I mean, if you're going to do
the
a fart
internet
joke.
Is doomed. Yeah. Okay, so one of the key ingredients, I think, to what makes this film so great is that it has a wide range of characters that appeal to a wide audience. Mm-hmm. You have Shaun, who is like the everyman who's just... Okay. Stop everything. Sarah just said a classy fart joke is when you fart in French.
Or in a French restaurant, perhaps.
There you go.
Or in a French restaurant. All right. Or a classic fart joke is a classic instead of classy is when you fart in Latin. See, I made it funny too.
Really? Anyway, I'm spending 15 minutes on fart jokes.
Yes, there will be an in-depth analysis next episode on the anatomy of a fart joke. No pun intended on the whole anatomy part. But yeah, so Shaun is like the everyman who's just trying to get by, and he's resourceful and smart. You know, we all aspire to be like Shaun, you know. And then you've got the dumb sheep herd, and they make for an entirely new range of comedy. The dumb comedy, you know, where, you know, have you ever met a group of people who are just blundering around? And, and so I really enjoyed what they brought to the table. Then you have the filthy party pigs who are filthy and they party. So that's pretty easy to get. And then you've got an adorable little baby sheep who has the adorable little funny moments, you know. I think his name is Timmy. Correct me if I'm wrong.
It is. Again.
And I think what really got it for me is just what we've been talking about is that the humor is written so that it is funny. And it makes people laugh, and it's hilarious. But we don't feel like we're sacrificing our intelligence by laughing at this. Mm-hmm. Like, it's like we're laughing mm-hmm. at life.
Yeah.
Like, it's humor without being overly rude or wacky. We've made quite a few comparisons to Minions tonight, and or today if you're in the UK. What was I going to say? Minions. You know, we talk about, like, mayhem humor. Or rude humor. I think we coined the term mayhem humor in our Minions episode, and I think that fits well with them. And whereas they kind of do that, and there's an audience for that, and there's money in that. Let's be honest.
Hey, we all
saw it. I liked it.
Yeah.
The type of humor that showed up in this film was just classy, mm-hmm. like we say.
Smart humor.
Smart humor, yeah. So, yeah, definitely.
As only the British can do it.
Right. Now, keep in mind, Aardman, you know, and yet Aardman did also do Pirates Band of Misfits, which was very dialogue heavy. and had a little more edgy humor than Shaun the Sheep, maybe, you know, and Wallace and Gromit. It was very different, and I think that more had to do with the treatment of the different directors. Mm-hmm. But it just goes to show you that they're not a one-trick horse. You know, they're versatile, or versatile, if you're in the UK. And going back to my original assessment, I thought the movie was cute, but not necessarily in a cuddly, cute, teddy bear, kawaii way, you know?
Yeah.
You know, Aardman's films from the Wallace and Gromit universe, they have this great way of producing situation comedy without taking shortcuts, without mm-hmm. resorting to mayhem comedy. Again, there's Minions. And without sacrificing the viewer's intelligence. And that is a mark of good writing and good directing and just a great studio. So, bada boom, bada bing, we watched a work of art last week, and I highly recommend that you watch it if you haven't seen it.
I agree.
Wow. Drop the mic, man.
Kiss my Aggie ring.
All right, so any last thoughts? So let's talk about the themes in the movie. I think one of the most obvious themes is, you know, the grass isn't greener on the other side.
You know, really isn't. The moral of the story is that the city is evil, you will get amnesia, and you will die. You know, but you'll be an internet sensation.
Yes, that's true.
Dog catchers are always evil.
Be careful what you wish.
Dog catchers are evil.
Yeah, I think that was a cool thing. Like, he really wanted to get out of his daily slump, but then he ended up, I don't think that you should not want to get out of your daily slump, but I think you should always have some type of an adventure coming around.
Everything in moderation.
Yeah, I don't.
Yeah, I think, you know, Shaun needed a chance to reconnect and rediscover why he does what he does.
Yes.
No, but then again, let's be real. On the farm, really, the farm never has a day off.
It's true.
The farm always keeps going. The animals need to be fed. The crops need to be watered or tended.
That's true. But at the end, the farmer learns how to have fun with the sheep again. Like at the beginning,
they should have fun when he's herding mm-hmm. the sheep and shearing them. It should be a fun experience rather than just.
Oh, you're saying they should love their work and they should love their work. They don't need a vacation to enjoy their existence.
Yes. Well,
if you don't love it, then you should probably change. It's true.
That's an interesting assessment, but I think at the end of the movie, they tried to point out that, like, every now and then you need a day off, you know, and not necessarily a harrowing, like, breakneck adventure where you almost die, but, you know, just maybe someday throw out the schedule and just have a fun day, you know? I think that's what the farmer learned to do in the end. But yes, I think now that Shaun and the gang now have more enjoyment in the mundane day in and day out things because they now know that their life isn't in danger anymore, like in the city, so.
There are no dog catchers on the farm.
Oh, there are no cats in America either.
Streets are paved with cheese.
All right,
so last thoughts before we rate it. Cheese, Gromit. Wensleydale. Oh, why isn't Aja on here? She can make fun of my horrible British accent.
That she could.
We've got a Kaja, but no Aja.
So, do you have any last thoughts before we rate the film?
I already dropped my mic.
Oh, I really appreciated the a cappella rendition of the summer song by all of the sheep.
Oh, that's true.
Really,
you have a little musical interlude.
Where they're like, you had the one like beatboxer like going at it too. It was like, yes. Aka awesome.
I feel like I need to see this movie again because there was, well, that's one thing. Now that we're doing these, we're doing new releases. We can't really like write down every single joke and reference, or we haven't seen it a million times. So I feel like when I do these reviews with you guys, I miss out a lot of those funny moments. I love them in the moment, but when, you know, I go to write my notes and to talk with you guys on the podcast, I kind of forget. So I definitely want to see this movie again because it made me laugh. It was really fun.
Yeah, definitely. And I think everybody who listens to this needs to tell other people to go watch it as well because it deserves to have a good following and
right.
to be not necessarily quoted because you can't really quote it, but You can say, like, hey, remember?
Try quoting Shaun the Sheep. That's like a loaded question you can ask someone to see if they really saw Shaun the Sheep. Be like, right. Hey, so what's your favorite quote from Shaun the Sheep? Oh, I like, oh no, we're sheep. Oh. Yeah. Okay, so what do y'all rate it? Let's put this movie, does this movie advance to the finals or is it put on the chopping block? Because I've been watching a lot of Chopped lately. Really?
So I'm going to rate this film 4 stars. I thought that it was very smart. It was witty. It was cleverly done. You know, very humorous. I had a great time. I love the visuals and I love the story. It's nothing too, cerebral. It's not going to make you think about it for months like, you know, Inside Out. I just had someone come to me and wanted to talk about Inside Out. 2 months, you know, it's been released. But nonetheless, I left this movie smiling, you know, ear to ear. Just really feeling edified, which is kind of an interesting word to use for a review, but I just
edified
what it brought me and how it made me feel and the story that it told. So 4 stars.
Did you rejoice, Morgan?
Yes. All edified together.
Aww. All right. What about you, Gels?
I also give it 4 stars. I felt that it was a movie that. You were mentioning that you don't think it was actually geared toward children, but I think it was geared enough toward children. I mean, obviously it is sheep. And so people are going to think that it's for kids and it's animation and sheep. Therefore it's kids, right? But I think that they were just gearing it to themselves as well as just in the lives of these characters that already have a background and already have like kind of a, they already have a life in the UK. They've got 4 seasons of it. But they did a really great job of making it something that everyone would get something out of. And I know that all those kids that are going to see this 10 years, 20 years down the road are going to remember seeing those images in their head and remembering Shaun the Sheep and then smiling when they remember it.
Well said, well said. Well, I can't... Yeah, I'm going to rate it 4 stars as well.
All right.
If I rated it any lower, well, I would feel sheepish. I'll rate you bad, boy.
No more for me.
Yeah, 4 stars. This was a really, really solid animated film, and I was just very impressed by how classy it was. And just the art form that is stop motion animation. And not that stop motion automatically gets like an extra star, but just the quality of it was really clean. And it was just really good. So 4 stars, if you want to know why, then listen to the past hour of us talking.
I went with my sister and my neighbor, and my sister loved it, and she thought it was amazing. And then
that's a random group.
I told my parents, well, long story, my neighbor and all her, you know, kids. So, anyways, so I told my parents to see it, and I didn't know if they had or not. But then at Sunday dinner, we all got together, and my dad, the first thing he said to me is, "Did you see that Shaun the Sheep movie? It's awesome." Which makes me so sad that not more people saw this film, because I think if people would have seen the film, they would have those reactions too, and they'd be sharing with their friends. But I think just the word did not get out there enough to really make word of mouth spread. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I hope it picks up in future weeks, but we shall see.
Mm-hmm.
So going back to the question before we go into our voicemails, Mason, you asked, do you think this movie is for kids? And you were going to tie that discussion up at the very end. So what are your thoughts?
I think some jokes might fly over the heads of young kids and the show might be boring to them, but I think like, I don't know, 10 and above should be able to do well. I don't know.
No,
I feel like this is a good family movie. Actually, I'd be really interested to see what Aardman's main demographic is for the Shaun the Sheep show. Like, is that something that families like sit down and watch together, you know, in the evenings, or is it like a show that they put on for kids at school when there's a substitute teacher? Or is it like a show that like college kids watch and, you know, hey, hello, bloke, did you catch Shaun the Sheep on the telly? You know, like they talk in Britain.
Yes.
It's exactly how they talk.
I don't know. In my experience, in the U.S. are usually children, but anyway.
Well, you know how there's adult animation in the States? You know, there's like Bob's Burgers, Family yeah. Guy, and other shows, you know.
So you were saying like, oh, I recommend this for people who are 10 and above. I think people who are familiar, children who are familiar with the show will really like it. And I had, I think he's three. One of the kids was 3 years old and he was glued to the whole thing, even though it didn't have dialogue, even though it didn't have some of the things that maybe pander to the lowest common denominator, as we like to say, but he loved it. And my parents are in their 60s and they loved it. So it really is mm-hmm. a family, a great film for all ages.
Yes.
Okay, so we are going to go into our voicemail section now. We have one voicemail, and this time it is from Sarah. She has not seen the film yet. She is just giving us her review of Inside Out.
Hello, Rotoscopers. Yes, I brought the Thunder Tube back. I love
She has her own Thunder Tube.
Holy cow.
My favorite thing I've gotten this year, probably. And I am here to leave a review for the 101st episode of the Animation Addicts podcast, not podcast, that's why I say, sorry, awkward. I don't know what movie you guys are reviewing, but I wanted to leave my thoughts on Inside Out. I know I'm a few weeks late, but I just got to see it last week, and I absolutely loved it. Oh, my gosh. I think it's tied with Jurassic World for being my second favorite movie of the year. I loved the entire movie, especially Joy and Bing Bong. I just thought they were so adorable and tremendous. I was just completely blown away. I adored this movie so much, and I would gladly go watch it again right now. But I was not prepared for the amount of feels in this movie. It was so sad. Anywho, I just had to leave a short voicemail. Thank you guys for always answering the voicemails. I just think it's just so sweet of you guys to do that. Bye, Morgan, Mason, and Chelsea. I love you.
Aw, love you too, Sarah.
Aw, we love you too, Sarah.
Sarah is watching live, which is pretty awesome. So we are hearing her speak, but we're also seeing her type.
That's weird. Sarah-rama. All right, yeah, I don't know about Jurassic World, but Inside Out was really good, and I really, really enjoyed it, so I'm glad you got to see it. I think everyone who loves the medium of animation or wants to be an animator just needs to keep up with Pixar. They're really at the cutting edge. But yeah.
So speaking of Inside Out, if you are not subscribed to the YouTube channel, you should be, because a makeup tutorial, like a Halloween cosplay tutorial on Sadness, and I'll be releasing that hopefully soon. Probably by the time this episode is out, if you're only listening to the audio file, that should be on live on the YouTube channel. But I'm also this week going to be recording Disgust and Joy. So those are going to be really fun, and subscribe to check them out. I'm really excited. I even coordinated with someone who makes wigs. And so the wigs are, you know, the exact cut, like even Sadness. I didn't realize this until I got the wig, but Sadness's wig is really short on one side and long on the other side. And flips down. And so
it's kind of like my hair right now.
Like, why is this? Oh, and then I looked at the photo. I'm like, oh, I guess her hair is like that. It's not attractive in person, but it totally works, and the wig is authentic. So I include all the links on where to find those, and if you want to be Sadness for Halloween, and I have the sweater and the glasses, it's all good. So subscribe to the YouTube channel, because I'm really excited to release
that. Morgan showed us a preview of what the end result looked like. It was scary how much she looked like Sadness.
Check out the Instagram for that one.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
Rotoscopers.com/Instagram or Instagram.com/Rotoscopers.
Either one works.
Palindrome.
Well, did we just make it through our first live episode?
I think we did. Woohoo!
Without a hitch for the most part. We were a little late, so sorry to those who are listening live. We have 15 people who are watching live right now, which makes me really excited. I'm expecting zero or one. So thank you for everyone who has been watching this, and to all those who are going to be listening in the future, thank you so much for your support. We will be doing these every 2 weeks. So I'm going to include a little section on the show notes, or not on the show notes, on the website, on the bottom footer. It's going to say the calendar of movies we're going to be reviewing and what days, because we record these every other Monday at 5:30 Pacific Daylight Time and 7:30 Central Daylight Time. So if you want to join in and watch us live, just go to rotoscopers.com/live, and that's where we will upload the new video for everybody who's interested, you know, so you can prepare, so you can get in the chat. There's been lots of people chatting right now. Kaja and Sarah, shout out to you guys. They've been chatting. So we did not the best job of really promoting our live show, so we will try to do that more in the future. So if you love listening and you can't wait for our new episodes to come out and you want to join us, definitely do that. And again, thanks to all the patrons who made this possible. One of our next milestones in the future is going to be doing these every week. So hopefully at some point in the near future, we'll be able to do these every Monday, you know, not just every other Monday. It'll just be every Monday, 5:30, tune in, boom. So,
dude, just think, your weekly dose of Animation Addicts. Mm-hmm.
We're excited.
You get to see our beautiful faces. That means I have to actually like shower, put on clothes, and like put myself together instead of twice, once every 2 weeks, once every week. And so
your wife will thank us.
The sacrifices we make for y'all are great.
All right, for show notes for this episode, you can go to rotoscopers.com/101. That's where you can find all the show notes, everything that we've talked about. If you want to, if you're in the UK and you want to buy this movie, we'll have links for that. We'll include, you know, anything right there. You can also find the video there. It'll be embedded at the bottom if you're interested. And definitely give us a shout out on Twitter, #AnimAddicts or #AnimAddicts101, to let us know that you made it to the very end of this episode and you listened all the way. And if you were one of our live listeners, definitely give us a shout out and tweet us at #AnimAddicts101. If you'd like to hear yourself on the show, give us a call at rotoscopers.com/voicemails or 406-646-6575. And of course, you can support us a myriad of ways. We have our Patreon, and we're so grateful for everyone supporting us on Patreon. We're having a great time in the patron group, having different discussions. I love it. It's such a great there. So that's one of the perks. If you're a $5 patron or more, you can support us on Amazon by starting all of your Amazon shopping using rotoscopers.com/Amazon. And of course, for those of you who like audiobooks and can't get enough audio in your ears, go to rotoscopers.com/audible. So yeah, that's basically it. And I'm just so excited that we're able to do this now, and how the show has grown and the support you guys have given us. Oh, this is one thing I did want to ask. So I'm going to end it with this. So, you know, there's a ton of people who on Instagram and different places, they, you know, they tag us. They say, yeah, we love, you know, the Rotoscopers. I love being a part of this community. And I was trying to think of a name for, you know, our community. And I thought potentially we could name it the Roto Gang. And Mason and Chelsea liked that. But I was like, you know, let's let the fans and let's let the listeners and the readers and everyone, let them choose a name, because the patrons, we call them Roto Nation. And I just want to hear what you guys. So in the show notes, I will put a link to a poll so you can, you know, vote for different things that, you know, Roto Gang, if you like that. If you don't like that, then vote for something else. You can input your own and we'll talk about it. So that way you guys can really, you know, because I want to be able to go and put #RotoGang or #RotoWhatever, or maybe it's something not even Roto, and just be able to see everyone and what they're doing in the animation world and just be able to connect even more. So that's why I'm interested in that. So let us know, rotoscopers.com/101.
All right, guys.
I like the idea of Roto Gang.
I do.
We can have gang signs. We can have gang colors. We can have gang kerchiefs.
Not quite what I was going for, but if you are.
Oh, just like a Dang in name only.
I mean, we could really just keep it at Animatics.
You all decide. We have complete faith in you. Just don't mess this up.
Let us know your reviews of Shaun the Sheep in our comment section. Rotoscopers.com/101. And until next time,
we are the Rotoscopers. That was probably a huge delay.
Still doesn't work very well when free people.
Still doesn't work very well. Just cue the sound effect.
I have it, shall I? Next time. All right, guys.